We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Time to Netflix and Bill from Marketplace. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Remember Netflix's password crackdown? Yeah, well, it worked. Password piggybackers emerged from the shadows in droves and signed up for their own accounts, helping bring Netflix 9 million new subscribers in just 3 months. That's triple the number of people who signed up last year at the same time. And now that it has wrangled those folks in, it is raising prices. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with details. Hi, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
This sounds kind of like a big turnaround when you think that, you know, in early 2022, Netflix had actually lost more than a million subscribers.
Yeah, it is a big turnaround. For a while there, post-pandemic, it appeared that we'd reached peak subscriptions. Netflix added 36 million in 2020, then lost, as you mentioned, subscribers. But now it's growing again, and the number is higher than expected. And Netflix thinks it'll keep adding more subscribers for a few more quarters as it continues to crack down on password sharing.
Yeah, but it's also raising prices. Are they not concerned that this is going to irritate customers and it might lose some?
Well, you know, I don't think they are at the moment. They don't seem to be. They seem to think that they have enough price options, various tiers of membership. For example, Netflix pointed out that 30% of new subscribers opted for its cheapest plan. That's $7 a month, which includes commercials. It's not changing the price on that. It is adding $3 a month to its most expensive plan and increasing its lowest priced ad-free tier. And if more people sign up for advertising, that might actually help Netflix. It wants to build up that part of its business.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You got it.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents want their kids to do well in school and in life. But school can be a lot for a kid, more than a lot. It can be a pressure cooker. How many AP classes can you load up on? Add on a tutor and SAT prep if you can afford it. How many extracurricular activities can you possibly fit in a day? But is this achievement-centered approach the only way to go? What about students who do not thrive under pressure from schools and parents? Jennifer Brahini Wallace is the author of Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. She spoke with my Marketplace colleague, Nancy Marshall Genzer.
I will tell you, I am down in the trenches with you. I have twin teenage boys, and I have noticed there is a lot going on these days for kids. I mean, the pressure to succeed academically is higher than I've ever seen. Why is there so much pressure on kids right now, and how might parents actually be adding to it?
Oh, to be clear, I have three teenagers myself, so I'm right there in the trenches with you. And I've been noticing over the years just how different my children's childhood was from my own. The story that really makes the most sense to me is the changing economic story from when you or I were growing up. So when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, life was generally more affordable. There was slack in the system. So a parent could be relatively assured, even with a child having some setbacks, that they'd be able to replicate their childhoods, if not do even better than their own parents did.
I think you talked to hundreds of kids, Jennifer, who said their sense of self-worth was based on academics. They only felt like they were truly loved when they got an A.
That is the unfortunate narrative that I heard from way too many kids. Kids today are under a tremendous amount of pressure to achieve, and not just achieve, but the bar to achieve just seems to be getting higher and higher in all areas of their life. And there's no one person to blame. I mean, these pressures come from peers, from their peers' parents, from social media, from the wider culture that tells us only certain people are valued and matter in this world. What I hear from the parents is not so much that they want to get their kids into Harvard or Yale. This is really an issue that's affecting all parents, particularly those in the top 25% of household incomes. Parents feel really tasked with getting their kids into a, quote, good school so that that could act as a kind of life vest in a sea of economic uncertainty.
There are some kids, though, who manage to still thrive in this pressure cooker environment. Tell me about them and how are they succeeding and what are their parents doing differently?
Yeah, so I wanted to, as you say, look at who were the kids who were doing well despite the pressures. And it boils down to this idea of mattering. What I found and what I've implemented in my own parenting at home is the importance of teaching our kids their value inherently for who they are away from their achievements, but also importantly, to depend on them and rely on them to add value back to their family, to their friends, to their communities. Kids who felt like they were valued and were dependent on to add value had a kind of protective shield. It didn't mean they weren't anxious and depressed, but mattering acted like a kind of buoy that lifted them up.
Lastly, Jennifer, this is a question for all parents. When you do push, when do you push and when do you hold back?
Yeah, so instead of focusing on shiny outcomes like a specific grade, instead focus on how the work gets done. Parents need to make the assumption that kids want to do well. So if their child isn't doing well, get curious, not furious, about what is getting in the way.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Breheny-Wallace. Her book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It, is out now. You can learn more about it on our website, marketplace.org. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer there. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.